Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Hi, everybody. Jimmy DeYoung, and welcome to Stand in the Gap Today. This is radio that's on the cutting edge. Well, yes, I said I'm Jimmy DeYoung, and normally I would be visiting with Sam, Dave, and Gary, but those guys are out doing ministry right now. I believe Sam is with a group of pastors over near Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Not sure where Dave and Gary are, but they're out doing the Lord's work. They'll all be back tomorrow. You'll be able to hear the first team. They send in the second team this time, and I'm thrilled and privileged to be able to have this opportunity to reach into your home, to your automobile, to your place of business, wherever we may be catching you. It is a thrill for me to be able to fill in for Sam, Dave, and Gary. I want to tell you in just a moment, we're going to Romania. We're going to Romania, where my oldest son, Jim Jr., and when I say Jim Jr., he's not a little teenage boy. He's 56 years old, but he is involved in our ministry of Prophecy Today. He has just finished a tour, taking our tour group throughout Israel and then over into Jordan to Petra. I want to talk to him about that and why is it important for any Christian, especially those who may be teaching the Bible, pastors, etc. They need to walk in the land of the Bible. We'll find out from Jim about that, the death of one of the founding fathers, and also we're going to find out what he is doing in Romania. And then we're going to bring David James to these microphones. He has an organization entitled the Alliance for Biblical Integrity. And we're going to find out what that's all about. You know, we're concerned. David and I had a conversation about 4 years ago when we were driving back from Serbia into Hungary, where he and I both had been ministering. And we said, what do we need to do to reach the next generation? So we talked about it, and now we're involved, partnering together at Prophecy Today. Well, keep the dial set right where it is. These next our activities are going to be very, very informative. Let's go, as I said, to Jim Jr. in Romania. Hey, Jim, it's good to hear you, and glad you got to Romania from Israel safely. Glad you're there, buddy.
Hey, thanks, Dad. We had a great trip in Israel, and now we're having a great time here teaching the Word of God to students here in Romania.
Well, I want to find out about what you're actually focusing on there in Romania and why you are, along with David, partnering in ministry there. But tell me about your trip. Now, you walked in the land of Israel for about 10 days, and then you took an extension and took the tour group over to Petra. Petra is one of those impregnable cities. In fact, the only basically impregnable city that I know of in the world. It's unique. It's one of the seven wonders of the world. But describe how it was, the people's reaction and the significance of Petra.
Well, our trip to Israel was fantastic. And you said that we walked in the land of Israel. Well, we don't really walk. we're basically running through the land. We're seeing as much as we can. I know that people save for a lifetime to get to the land of the Bible. And really, when you get there, as you are reading the Word of God, it comes alive to you. If you've never been to Israel and you're reading the Word of God, when you get there, it's like seeing the Word of God come alive in color, in ultrasonic sound with all the sounds and noises and the smells of the city. And we put together a tour where we try to get folks to see as much as they can while we're there. And it's laid out as we look at Israel past, Israel present, and Israel future. And we're looking at God's role and God's plan. That's where the beginning was. That's where we believe that the Garden of Eden was located. That's the beginning of God's plan of restoration for mankind by sending his son to be born in the city of Bethlehem. And we go to all those locations. We teach about the place that the temple holds in the future, the place that the city of Jerusalem holds in the future. So it's a great trip. And you're right, we do go to Petra, that 25 square mile city that's in the cleft of the rocks, as it says, that fortress where Esau went in Genesis chapter 36. Esau went there. He then became Edom. That's where he first settled. The Nabataeans came in. They carved out that city, that popular city that people have seen on TV today. And as they're there, they're looking at the things so that they're seeing the past, and they're also seeing what we believe, according to Scripture, where the Jewish people will go to in a time of persecution by the Antichrist during the tribulation period. They're going to flee there for protection by God.
You know, it's interesting to note in the book of Revelation, chapter 12 and verse 6, it's talking about the fact that the Lord has prepared a special place for the Jewish people. That last 3.5 years of the tribulation period, as referred to by Jeremiah the prophet, chapter 30 and verse 7, is referred to as the time of Jacob's trouble. And the book of Daniel, chapter 12, in that last time, times, and half a time, in other words, 3.5 years, it's going to be the worst persecution that has ever confronted the Jewish people. So that's the location where they're protected during that last half of the terrible time of tribulation upcoming. Talk to me about the En Gedi Scroll. While you were there, they discovered the En Gedi Scroll. Well, I say they discovered it. They've had it for a number of years, but they were finally able to unwrap it. Now, the significance about that, this was a burnt scroll, almost like a piece of coal, was it not?
It sure was. It was, it actually, the burning took place about, I would say, about the 6th or 7th century, and they found it in what was called the Ark. And in a synagogue, they had a place where they kept the scrolls. This particular synagogue was destroyed by fire for some reason, and then they found it in 1970. They brought these scrolls out. They were basically like pieces of charcoal. Every time they tried to touch them, they would disintegrate. So since 1970, they have sat in the area of the Israeli antiquities, and they've been trying to figure out how to figure out what they said. And so they took, they decided to use an Israeli technology. They used a CT scanner. They basically used X-ray tomography. And they x-rayed it several passes through, just the same way that doctors use x-ray tomography on bodies today. They made several passes, and they figured out that there was some lead content of some sort in the writing that was on those scrolls. So they took it to Kentucky. They unraveled it using virtual reality. As they unraveled this thing, they took a look at it. And it is the book of Leviticus, portions of the book of Leviticus. As a matter of fact, probably the earliest known Hebrew manuscript that's been found, even earlier than the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Wow. Wow, that is exciting. And in fact, that they got the book of Leviticus, boy, that gives the instruction for those who are endeavoring to try to rebuild the temple and get everything right as it relates to the temple and standing there on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. Leviticus does that. It talks about what is going to be the direction for the sacrificial system to be renewed, the priest, etc. Well, Jim, I want you to hold on before we talk to David. I want to find out why you're there in Romania. So keep the phone right there with you, and we'll talk with you just briefly before we get to David James. David James, upcoming, we're going to be talking about current theological trends. You don't want to miss that. It's all ahead right here on Stand in the Gap Today.
This is your host, Sam Rohr. When it comes to financial stewardship, wills, and tax estate planning, you can trust the Life Financial Group, one of our Stand in the Gap Today radio sponsors. The Life Financial Group has worked alongside believers across America for nearly 40 years, providing counsel and biblical direction to Christians so they can provide for their families and leave a legacy of significance. Call the Life Financial Group today at 800-688-5800 for a free copy of Protecting Yourself from Fraud. That's 800-688-5800.
The citizens of America are, from this period, to be considered as actors on a most conspicuous theater, which seems to be designated by Providence for the display of human greatness and felicity. 1783, John Adams.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit BJUPress.com. That's BJUPress.com.
The 15th Amendment, Section 1. The right of citizens of the United States to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of race, color, or previous condition of servitude.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. It's October now, and Election Day, November 8th, is just around the corner and will be here before you know it. So today's the day to take care of a few things to make sure you're able and ready to cast an informed ballot on Tuesday, November 8th. First, if you're 18 or over and not registered to vote, do it now. The deadline is October 11th, and you can register online, in person, or by mail. Second, access our online Pennsylvania Voters Guide at pafamilyvoter.com to get a personalized voter's guide for the candidates on the ballot where you live and vote. That's pafamilyvoter.com. Third, order printed voter's guides to hand out at your church. Call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1 to place your order. Lastly, go to our website at pafamily.org to find out about how you can support our pro-family efforts by attending our Friends of the Family Banquet in Hershey on Friday, October 21st. Again, if you have any questions, call 1-800-FAMILY-1.
So, thank you for coming to my town hall today on how wonderful Common Core is and how much money we got from the federal government for giving up control of education. Any questions?
So, Representative, we have adopted new National Common Core standards, but they are not higher than our existing standards, and they were never really tested.
Well, yes.
And now we have to retrain all our teachers again and make them teach from a script so they can teach to national tests?
Well, yes.
And buy lots of new computers and equipment and copyrighted lessons from the same people who are promoting Common Core?
Well, yes.
And we're going to share all our private, family, medical, disciplinary, and test results with people nationwide. Why are you supporting it?
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. This message brought to you by Pennsylvanians Restoring Education. Go to parestoringeducation.org or call 484-678-2236.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Welcome back, everybody. Jimmy DeYoung here, the second team. And for the first team, Sam, Dave, and Gary, they're away today in ministry. Be back tomorrow on the broadcast. They are cutting edge. I always enjoy my opportunity every other week of being able to join them as a broadcast partner. But today, since they all had to be away, they asked me to fill in as the guest host. And what a privilege and honor that is for me. Well, just a moment ago, I was talking with Jim Jr., our son, about our trip. And we take trips. If you want to go to Israel and walk in the land of the Bible, looking at Israel past, today, Israel present, and Israel future, you can come and join us. Go to my website, prophecytoday.com. Go to Joshua Travel, and you can find out about all of our tours. We have VIP tours for smaller groups. We have the large groups with covered buses, and we just do anything we can to get people into the greatest classroom that we know of, where that we can teach about God's Word, and in particular, the prophetic Word of God. And that's why Jim Jr. has come along and filling in for his older father, who has to take some time off once in a while. But Jim was the one, he and his younger brother, Rick, leading this last tour. Jim, before I let you go and we go to David James, and by the way, stand by for David James. We're going to be talking and discussing current theological trends. And you need to hear what he's going to be telling us about. Very important. You need to be alert as to what's happening in theology as it relates to the church, church-wide, not only in America, but around the world. And then in the last 15 minutes, do you understand we're in the period of the Jewish feast, the fall feast. They have great significance to the person of Jesus Christ. I want you to stay tuned to hear that. But Jim, if you will, before I go to Dave, talk to me about Shimon Peres. Just briefly, he was one of the founding fathers of the Jewish state of Israel. He lived and served the state of Israel in its government, every single position that you can hold from a leadership role in the Israeli government for that 68 years. But he was quite an interesting man, and it was exciting to see the world leaders. I understand over 70 world leaders coming to Jerusalem at the time of his funeral to honor this man. He was unique, wasn't he?
He sure was, Dad. And you know, the interesting thing is we had an opportunity, both you and I, to work in Israel underneath in periods of time when Shimon Peres was the prime minister. He was handpicked by David Ben-Gurion, the first prime minister of Israel, to be mentored by Ben-Gurion because he saw in him, in Shimon Peres, a young general who, at the time of the Arab-Jewish wars, Shimon Peres was one of the first generals. He actually later on, at the age of 29, became the Minister of Defense for the nation of Israel. He also had an illustrious history of working, being able to bring things about. He brought in the Israeli Defense Air Force, their modern technology. He was involved in working really behind the scenes to develop Israel's nuclear capability. And he really did a fantastic job. He was one of those, although he was never elected to the prime minister position or the position of president, he did serve at the behest of his country. He was one that worked for peace, especially with the Palestinians. He was noted as, and he received the Nobel Peace Prize with Yitzhak Shamir, himself, Shimon Peres, and Yasser Arafat. So he was very instrumental in the Oslo Accords. There was so much that he was involved with over the years. He did a fantastic job as a statesman and a spokesman for the nation of Israel.
And actually a tangible evidence of the fact that God is fulfilling prophecy. During the 68 years that Shimon Peres was with that nation of Israel, they had the people, the Jewish people, returning to the land. That's the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, also chapter 34. The Palestinian-Israeli conflict, he tried to deal with that. As you talked about, one of the architects for the Oslo Accords, the peace agreement between Israel and the Palestinian people, that's Ezekiel chapter 35. And then the alignment of the nations, Ezekiel 38. All of these passages of prophecy moving to the point of either partially being fulfilled or being fulfilled during the lifetime of Shimon Peres. And world leaders honored this man just this last week. Now, you're in Romania. You come out of Israel after a two-week period of time taking people all over the land and over to Petra. You're in Romania. Why are you guys there?
Well, several years ago, Dad, we started working with a young man by the name of Iulian Avramescu. You actually taught this man years ago at the Word of Life Bible Institute in Hungary. Dave James was a mentor to this young man. He is now taking over and trying to retake the youth of Romania the same way that the communists did. The communists used youth camps. Iulian is doing the same thing, but he's taking over the youth of Romania for Jesus Christ, and he's using youth camps. And we are here. We started a couple years ago to help Iulian establish a school, Mia College. And he wanted to provide a Christian education to the young people, young students that cannot go elsewhere to get a degree. So we are coming here and we're holding module classes and we're teaching them the basic really the courses to help them round out their Christian education.
And, of course, you have the prophetic responsibility of teaching there. I understand you're teaching the book of Daniel?
Yes, Daniel. The understanding of the book of Daniel is what all other prophetic books hang on that structure of the book of Daniel. And understanding that, you know, the prophetic aspect of it correctly is determines the rest of your eschatology and your theology for outright. And as you look at it, Daniel is a practical book. In fact, we just got done with the practical portions, helping them to understand that Daniel is a young man that purposed in his heart not to defile himself, using understanding God's role in his life. And now we're just now getting into understanding the times of the Gentiles and then God's plan for the Jewish people in Daniel chapter 9.
Well, Daniel is a great, great book to start your prophetic study if you're going to approach the prophecy of the Word of God in the scenario for the end times. Jim, we'll be praying for you as you teach Daniel. As you said, it's the key. All other prophecies hang on this book of Daniel. You get so much of the definition of what is going to happen in the end times in this book. It is, as you said, both practical and predictive. That's the exciting thing about Bible prophecy. In fact, I love chapter 10 and verse 12, where Jesus Christ himself would appear to Daniel, coming to meet Daniel's desire to have more prophetic truth given to him. And when he saw him, he said, Daniel, since you set your heart to understand the times, boy, that's what we ought to be doing, understanding the times. And secondly, to chasten your heart in with that understanding. And so we study God's word, the prophetic word, to know what's going to happen. And then we chasten our heart, live right in light of the soon coming of Jesus Christ. Well, Jim, we'll be praying for you. Thank you, buddy. Can you hand the microphone over to David James right now? Let me just introduce David James. David heads up an organization called the Alliance for Biblical Integrity. He came back from his sojourn there in Hungary a number of years. He started the Bible Institute, which we were talking about there, for Word of Life in Hungary. Now he has this very unique organization. Its website is biblicalintegrity.org. You might want to mark that down and bookmark it, biblicalintegrity.org. David, I know that you're teaching current theological trends, and I want to get into that. I'm not sure how much we have time to do, but let's at least get it started. And when you're talking about theological trends, it's based upon the doctrine of God's Word. Now, I've heard it said time and time again in evangelical circles that doctrine actually divides, love unites. What would be your reaction to that statement?
Well, I would say, it's great to be with you, Jimmy. I would say this, that it is a misnomer or a misconception, the idea that love unites. People might react to that, and we see a lot of people appeal to where Jesus said that all men, well, you know you're my disciples by your love for one another. But they overlook the idea of people being Jesus' disciples. And the basic definition of a disciple is one who is a learner. And we think about love uniting. We know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So God loved the world. God loved all sinners. But not all sinners are united with God. So not even the love of God is enough to unite in and of itself. What is it that unites people with God? When they hear, understand, and believe the truth of the gospel. So they have to believe truth. So it's not really true that doctrine divides, but love unites. It's true that doctrine divides because belief unites. Belief unites with God when we believe the truth that Jesus Christ died for our sins and arose from the grave. And belief is the foundation for uniting us with other believers. Doctrine can divide, but it's because of differences about what we believe to be true, and the source of that, of what we know to be true, is found in the Word of God.
Give me about 15 seconds, if you will, David. Define doctrine and where it's located. It's basically throughout the entire Bible, because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, 2 Timothy 3:16, and is profitable for doctrine. But what is doctrine? It's simply what God wants us to do, correct?
That's right. Doctrine simply means right teaching.
Right teach you. Boy, that is said in a couple of short words, which is absolutely what it is. Well, David, when we come back, I want to talk about some of these current theological trends that are facing the church and the Christians in the church. It is key, my dear friend, that you understand God's Word, the doctrines of God's Word, so that we'll know how to live, especially in light of the fact we're living in the last days. We're going to take a break. When we come back here on Standing in the Gap today, I'll be continuing my conversation with David James, talking about the Christians.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of Providence, which established the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. With Hurricane Matthew on track to hit or come close to Florida late tomorrow night,
we hope for the best, but we want to prepare for the worst.
President Obama at FEMA headquarters in D.C.
FEMA has been on the ground in Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, and North Carolina, working with state and local officials to prepare for the storm.
He says everyone should follow evacuation orders. The Nobel Prize in Chemistry is announced.
This award is all about the world's tiniest machine.
Northwestern professor Fraser Stoddart sharing the prize with Jean-Pierre Sauvage of France and Dutchman Bernard Feringa, who says,
I'm so honored.
The Nobel Committee recognizing the trio for work on machines at the molecular level, far thinner than a human hair. It's work that could revolutionize computer technology and lead to a new type of battery.
That's Fox's Simon Owen, Fox News. We report, you decide.
WFYL. History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
He entered Yale at age 13 and graduated with honors. He became a pastor, and his sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, started the Great Awakening, a revival that swept America, uniting the colonies prior to the Revolution. He became president of Princeton. His name was Jonathan Edwards, born this day, October 5th, 1703. Jonathan married Sarah Pierpont, and their descendants included a U.S. vice president, three U.S. senators, three governors, three mayors, 13 college presidents, 30 judges, 60 professors, and nearly 100 missionaries.
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
And welcome back to this program that tries to be on the cutting edge as you look at God's Word, how it relates to our world today, both prophetically, governmentally, and any other way that you want to develop a world view, it has to be done through the Word of God. I'm Jimmy DeYoung. Sam, Dave, and Gary, they're off on ministry business around the world someplace. They'll be back tomorrow with the broadcast, that cutting edge that they always bring to the table at these broadcast tables here at Stand in the Gap Today. Well, in just a moment, I'll be talking with David James. He heads up an organization, Alliance for Biblical Integrity, their website, biblicalintegrity.org. We're going to be talking about current theological trends. Let me just remind you, in the last 15 minutes, I want to talk about the Jewish holy days. We are now into the fall Jewish holy days. This last Monday was Feast of Trumpets, but it was also Rosh Hashanah. You may not understand what that means. It's a great celebration. You need to keep the dial set where it is and listen to what I have to say in the last 15 minutes. Now, David, let's get into some of these trends that you're there in Romania to teach to the pastors, the youth people that are there with you, and also the youth pastors that may be coming in for this educational program that you guys are putting on. Many, many trends we could talk about, the gospel, whether it's biblical or false. We could talk about homosexual agenda, same-sex marriage. These are trends that are confronting the church today, and some of them even involved in the church activities as well. But there's a couple. I want to get these, and we can kind of get them off as quickly as possible. One of them is the out-of-body experiences that many of the Christian leaders are talking about. Talk to me about outer body experiences.
Sure. Well, they're frequently referred to as NDEs, or near-death experiences, and they're combined more recently in the church with claims of trips to heaven, but not just in the church, but also by other people in other religions who also claim to have died and their spirit, they claim that their spirit left their body and they went to heaven. And the idea, when we talk about a near-death experience, actually, that's not the best way to describe it, even though that's what they're called. It's actually a death experience in which they physically die, and then they say that their spirit leaves their body, and then at some point they are resuscitated and they come back to life. Now, one of the things that we need to understand is that there's a difference between being clinically dead and being dead in the biblical sense. Being clinically dead means that medical equipment can no longer detect life signs in a physical way. But being dead biblically is the time when the spirit actually leaves the body. And so it would be possible to be in a physical state where medical equipment can't necessarily test your physical signs or detect them. But if your spirit hasn't left your body, then you haven't really died. And if you haven't really died, then you haven't made a trip to heaven and you haven't come back. And there are a couple of important issues in regard to this. One of the most important is that these claims of trips to heaven are made not simply by those who we would understand to be born-again believers who have trusted Christ for salvation, but these claims happen across the world in Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, tribal religions, other non-Christian groups. And they all seem to talk about the same thing, rising up out of the body, going through a tunnel, approaching a light, etc. And if those things are true, then what we believe the Bible to teach about the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by him, there's no salvation apart from Christ. If these other claims are true, then the Bible is simply false. So it's a very disturbing, trend.
You know, one of the trends that I wanted to look at real quickly here was the fact that so many Christian authors are using fiction to try to communicate some type of maybe a doctrine or a desire or an idea or a philosophy, whatever. I was thinking about writing a fictional book. I've written four books thus far. I've got one just about to go to press, a book on heaven, by the way, and I was motivated by some of the things you said there about these trips to heaven or supposed trips to heaven. But a man encouraged me, don't write fiction, write truth so people can understand what you're really saying, because fictional writers use all type of literary license. Is there a potential danger in Christian fiction, David? And is this a trend we need to watch?
Yes, it is. There may be a place for it, but I think we have to be extremely careful, and here's why. When we talk about Christian fiction, we're talking about two possibilities. One is that you have theological fiction, or you have fictional theology. So if you have fictional theology, by definition, that's things that claim to be theological, but they are false. And the Bible calls that heresy. So you don't want to have fictional theology. Then when you talk about theological fiction, then you're talking about the fact that you're trying to communicate biblical theological truth, but use fiction as your vehicle to do it. Now, if that's going to be the case, that means that everything that you write has to be absolutely theologically sound. You're bound by the Word of God not to add to it or subtract from it, which means that you can't really go into speculation. And the fact is, there's no way to write a fictional, a theological fictional novel and stay true to the biblical text without adding your own ideas in there. And then the question becomes for the reader, where can the reader determine, if they're not familiar with the Bible especially, where do the lines begin, or where the lines begin and end between the true theology from the Bible and the fiction that the author is writing? And those lines get blurred very much so. And then you have writers from all kinds of different theological backgrounds, and they're not demonstrating from the Bible where they're getting their ideas from. So it's a potentially very dangerous area in my view.
And may I suggest one example that most people probably listening in this broadcast period of time would recognize? A book put out by Jonathan Cahn, the author, entitled The Harbinger. He says right there at the beginning of the book, I am deciding to use the motif of fiction to communicate this. But then he makes the statement, everything I'm writing about did happen, so it was truth, it was fact. Now, The Harbinger, I'm very much concerned about, and in fact, you were too. As we discussed it, you got the idea and wrote a book refuting The Harbinger as any type of truth at all. It's entitled The Harbinger, Fact or Fiction, available at my website, prophecytoday.com. But just briefly, tell us why you think it was not fact and is more fiction.
Well, I spent hundreds of hours of research into it, and as you said, he has said that it's simply using fiction to convey what he believes to be true. And his thesis is that based on Isaiah 9:10, he believed that Isaiah 9:10, which talks about bricks falling, towers coming down, etc., that was beginning to be fulfilled with the terrorist attacks of September 11, 2001. And I did historical research, biblical research, scientific research. I researched all his claims, linguistics concerning the languages that were being spoken by the armies that attacked Israel at the time of Isaiah. And the fact is that none of his statistics, his Bible, his history, none of it stands up. And even though it was The Harbinger was the most popular Christian book of 2012, a lot of us who really take the Word of God seriously realize that there are all of these problems, and a lot of people were not able to not only discern between the fiction and what he claimed to be fact, but even his claims of facts were in error. So this is just one major example in recent history of the potential danger with this.
Well, David's book is entitled The Harbinger, Fact or Fiction. It's available at my website, prophecytoday.com. Go there, go to the Prophecy Bookstore, and you can make your purchase, read it, and come to a better understanding of what the truth is. Is it fact or fiction? David, let me talk about one more thing in the couple of moments that we have left together. The Hebrew Roots Movement. What is that all about?
The Hebrew Roots Movement is a movement, it's a subset of Messianic Judaism, which are ethnic Jews who believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. But the Hebrew Roots Movement takes it another step further and says that all Christians are bound by the Old Testament law, including keeping the Sabbath, dietary laws, requirements to keep the feasts of God, and the various aspects of the Mosaic Law. And it's the very thing that Paul, the Apostle Paul, fought so hard in the New Testament, especially in books like Galatians, and then the author of Hebrews dealt with and encouraging Hebrew Christians not to return to the aspects of the law. It's really a Judaizing effect on evangelicalism. And the strange thing, even though it's often promoted as an apologetic to win Jewish converts into Christianity, statistics show that at least 80% and maybe more of Hebrew Roots congregations are made up of non-Jewish, or in other words, Gentile believers. So it's an attempt to bring the church back under the law of the Old Testament.
And then you must be saying, as I understand you, that out of this Hebrew Roots movement comes the Messianic fellowships across the country and around the world. Is that correct?
Well, no, not exactly. The Messianic Judaism, there are some who would be very evangelical, and they would say that the feasts aren't required, but they are foreshadows and types, and so we are free to do it, and we should understand the Jewish roots of Christianity. That Christianity began with apostles, for example, who were Jewish converts. But the Hebrew roots takes it another step further and goes to Judaizing extremes that are condemned in the New Testament.
David's website is biblicalintegrity.org. Biblicalintegrity, one word, .org. His organization, the Alliance for Biblical Integrity, David James. David, he's a partner with us here on Prophecy Today. When you can join us on Saturdays at 1 o'clock, it's on our website or an affiliate near you. David, thank you so much, my good friend.
Thanks, Jimmy. Great to be with you.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'll be talking about the Jewish holy days. That's upcoming. Stand in the gap today.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teacher's editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's BJU Press.
A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government, taken from Thomas Jefferson's first inaugural address, March 4, 1801.
This is your host, Sam Rohr. When it comes to financial stewardship, wills, and tax estate planning, you can trust the Life Financial Group, one of our Stand in the Gap Today radio sponsors. The Life Financial Group has worked alongside believers across America for nearly 40 years, providing counsel and biblical direction to Christians so they can provide for their families and leave a legacy of significance. Call the Life Financial Group today at 800-688-5800 for a free copy of Protecting Yourself from Fraud. That's 800-688-5800.
As Ronald Reagan once said, if we ever forget that we're one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under.
I'm Jan Mark Hill, helping you understand the times.
The cross isn't the center then. The cross is almost a distraction and false advertising for God.
The Bible says that leadership in the church will continually grow more secular as the time gets closer to His return. Paul the Apostle writes, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions." Sound teaching can be defined as teaching that is Bible-based with the influences of tradition or culture. Today, church leaders aren't being trained to teach the Bible. They are trained to culturally be relevant with the Bible, which is a disaster in knowing the truth. It is time for a new reformation, one that gets us back to the Bible. For more information, listen to our weekend program on this station or anytime at olivetreeviews.org.
There are over 42,000 cyber school students in Pennsylvania. Miss Philadelphia 2015 was a 2009 graduate of Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School. Athletes, actors, musicians, scholars, and community leaders appreciate the flexible schedule cyber school offers so they can pursue their passions, become independent learners, critical thinkers, and empowered leaders. Learn more today. Visit www.palcs.org or call 1-877-725-2785. That's www.palcs.org. for Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School.
PA Leadership Charter School. Lead, don't follow.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Thank you, sir. Jimmy DeYoung at these microphones for Stand in the Gap Today. Sam, Dave, and Gary are away doing ministry. They'll be back tomorrow. Be sure to join them. They have a cutting-edge program. You want to listen to them on a daily basis, Monday through Friday, or go to their website and find out what they have been talking about should you have to miss one of these up-to-date, very important programs that is heard across the United States. And I understand now on over 400 radio stations. Congratulations, guys. Boy, if anybody deserves to have the outreach that you do because of your research, your presentation, and everything else that goes on. I have been talking in the last 45 minutes of this broadcast with our oldest son, Jim Jr., who heads up our tour operation over in Israel and into Jordan, also to Turkey and to Rome. If you're interested, go to my website, prophecytoday.com. Go to Joshua Travel. You can get the information there for the agenda of what it's going to be taking place, for the activities that will be happening, for the itinerary, for the cost, for the dates, etc. That's prophecytoday.com, and that's Joshua Travel where you go to. And then I was talking with David James. David is a partner with us in ministry. I have him on my radio broadcast every single week. We have a weekly conversation about a topic that is important to the body of Christ and how we must have a biblical understanding of that particular topic. David's website is Biblical Integrity. That's one word, biblicalintegrity.org. His organization, Alliance for Biblical Integrity. Well, I invited you to stay tuned for this last 15 minutes because I wanted to talk about the Jewish High Holy Days. This last Monday was the beginning of the fall feast. There are seven feasts altogether. They're laid out there in the book of Leviticus, chapter 23. Now, the Lord gave this to the Jewish people through the Moses prophecy of what he was telling the Jewish people they must do forever. They started with the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread in Exodus chapter 12 when they did leave the bondage of Egypt and head towards the promised land. They were unable to start the cycle of all seven feasts until they crossed over the Jordan River into the land that God had promised to give them. There they started Passover there at Gilgal, had the time of unleavened bread, that second feast, and then first fruits following that Pentecost. But you come to the fall feast, and this last Monday marked about the 3,500th anniversary of the Feast of Trumpets. That's how long ago these feasts started to take place on an annual basis among the Jewish people. Feast of Trumpets is on the first day of the seventh month, and that also marks the new year. I'll get to that in just a moment. And then 10 days later, it's the most solemn of all the Jewish feast days. That would be Yom Kippur. That's on the 10th day of the seventh month, Tishri, but it's going to be October the 12th in our calendar. October the 3rd was Trumpets, and then October the 17th will be the Feast of Tabernacles. Those are the three fall feasts. Now, why are they significant? First of all, Jesus fulfilled the previous feast in the spring. All four of those feasts were fulfilled by Jesus Christ at the time of Jesus Christ. He was crucified on Passover, buried on unleavened bread, resurrected on first fruits, and the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, the Feast of Pentecost, as he had promised. Let's see how this works out. Does Jesus Christ fulfill all of the fall feasts, the three fall feasts as well, in the proper day sequences? Remember, he did that in the proper day sequence. It wasn't this Passover, and then 2 years later, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and then after that, the Feast of First Fruits. That's when he resurrected. And remember, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 to 25 says, Jesus is our first fruits. Jesus is also our Passover when you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. So those are key feasts that Jesus has fulfilled in the past. Now, let me remind you, this last Monday was the Feast of Trumpets. And I'll tell you what they did on that feast after I reveal to you it's also Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the Hebrew phrase. It's not described or translated as Feast of Trumpets. Instead, it's the new year. Rosh meaning the new, the head, the beginning, and Shana is the year. Rosh Hashanah, and this is the Jewish year 5777. What that means is the Jewish people believe, according to their calendar, which is the lunar calendar, 360 days instead of 365 days, they believe that 5,777 years ago, God created everything there in the Garden of Eden on the Temple Mount in the city of Jerusalem. Now, why the Feast of Trumpets on that same day? Well, in Jerusalem, this last Monday, thousands of Jewish men came with their shofars and their trumpets to celebrate creation. They came to the location that the Jewish people believe. And by the way, the Muslims believe the exact same thing. They believe that foundation stone, the stone underneath that gold dome building on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, is the foundation stone of where God brought everything into existence. It's only us Johnny-come-lately Christians that think the Garden of Eden is over between the Tigris and the Euphrates River. Study the Word of God. You'll understand that it is correct what I have just told you. And it's very important that we must understand that. The Jews give us the exact absolute evidence that that is the case. That's why they celebrated the anniversary of the creation of man by blowing of the shofars or the trumpets there on Feast of Trumpets. And then Yom Kippur, they have 10 days in between. Those are the 10 awesome days. And that's when the Jewish people do everything they possibly can to make certain that they are included in the Book of Life. For example, if they've offended anybody, they will contact them and ask forgiveness for that offense. May I tell you, I've had Jewish people call me, find me wherever I am in the world. I'm always on the move, so they had to work to find me, to ask me to forgive them of being an offense to me. They want to make sure they're included in the Book of Life. That happens during the 10 awesome days. In addition to that, there is a tradition among Jewish people, since there's no temple standing, since you cannot offer and the high priest cannot go into the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur, they will take a chicken, cut its head off, hold it over their head, screed it around their head, and splash as much blood as they can on anybody standing by. Now, that's just simply a tradition. It is not biblical in any way, shape, or form. Yom Kippur is a 25-hour fast in the nation of Israel. Dear friends, it's the most amazing thing that I've ever seen. An entire nation comes to a standstill on Yom Kippur. They honor the 25-hour fast to make sure they get the proper 24 hours in there. And the little children ride their tricycles on the busy thoroughfares of Israel during this particular time. Amazing. I've never seen another nation do something like that. And then the Feast of Tabernacles will bring Christians from all over the world to join with their Jewish brothers and sisters in Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles. What happens, the Jewish people live in a sukkah. That's a tabernacle translated from the Hebrew, and they live in that because that's what they did during their wanderings in the wilderness. Therefore, they're commemorating what happened and how the Lord provided for them, but they're looking for a fulfillment. You see, Jesus Christ did fulfill the first four spring feasts. He will fulfill the last three fall feasts. In fact, he will step down on the earth at Feast of Trumpets. That's not the rapture of the church. I said he steps back on the earth. Doesn't call us to meet him in the air. Feast of Trumpets, Matthew chapter 24, verse 31, Jesus says, blow a trumpet and call the Jews here. Yom Kippur, when he walks into the temple, which he builds on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. And Feast of Tabernacles, we'll be celebrating that with him, according to Zechariah chapter 14, throughout eternity. Very interesting connection to Judaism and Christianity. Well, thanks for joining us today. I'm Jimmy DeYoung. Be sure to come back tomorrow when Gary, Dave, and Sam will be here to Stand in the Gap Today.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
Live from beautiful West Norriton Township. This is AM 1180. AM 1180. WFYL.